Today we'll begin in Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. Colossians 2, verse 18. Now remember that we're in the midst of a warning that Paul is giving about false teachers who were threatening the church at Colossae. He gave the initial warning back in verse 8. That's where he said, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Now, the first part of that warning was dealing with the influence of these Jewish traditions that these false teachers were trying to bind on these Christians. That's what we read about in verses 11 through 17. Now, as we get into verse 18, we see that although there still may be some Jewish aspects in what he warns about beginning here in verse 18, we still see at the same time the influence of Greek philosophy and also what may be called mysticism in religion. We're going to see some things that may appear strange because you just don't read about these things often in the Bible. So let's look beginning in verse 18 at what Paul warns about. He says, "Let no man beguile you." Now remember back in chapter 2, verse 4, that he said that he was saying these things, lest any man beguile you with enticing words. He says, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." Now let's look at these words. Notice that he says again, "Let no man." Don't let anybody lead you astray. Don't let anybody deceive you. He said that in verse 4. He said that in verse 8. He said that in verse 16. And he repeats it here in verse 18. Don't let anyone take away your reward in Christ. And here we learn specifically what these false teachers were doing, what they were saying. Notice in verse 18, he says, "Don't let any of these false teachers beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility." Now, this is the first aspect of these false teachers that Paul mentions here. The words voluntary humility literally mean willing in humility. He's talking about a false humility. These men pretended to be humble. They were not as humble as they acted. Theirs was a fake or a forced humility. It was not natural. In Romans 16, verse 18, the Bible says to beware of false teachers which come to you with good words and fair speeches. Now, that's part of this voluntary, this forced, this fake humility that he's talking about. And remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 15? He said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." So what Jesus warned about in Matthew 7, verse 15, about sheep's clothing, is the very danger that is facing this church at Colossae. These false teachers were coming to them pretending to be very humble when they actually were not. And this is exactly what false teachers do to this very day. They smile. They talk in such a holy tone as to make you think that they're really spiritual. They cry. They tell you that they love you. But you have to listen to what they say. You have to weigh their words. The Bible says that we have the obligation to test what we hear. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. The Bible says in Acts 17, verse 11, that when the people of Berea heard Paul and Silas teach, they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. So they didn't even take the word of Paul and Silas at face value. They wanted to make sure that they searched the scriptures themselves. So many people get so caught up with the outward appearance of these false teachers and how they present themselves and especially how they talk that they forget all about the fact that they need to be listening to what these men are saying and comparing what they say to the Bible. And of course, Jesus said you need to watch how they live. Don't just listen to what they're telling you, but also look at how their living. Because he says, by their fruits, that is, by the actions of their lives, you will know them. Now that's Matthew 7, verses 15 through 20. So first of all, Paul says that these false teachers will come to you and are coming to you with a fake humility. Secondly, he mentions the worshiping of angels. Now, there are two beliefs or views about what Paul is talking about here with this worshiping or worship of angels. One view is that Paul is talking about how the angels serve and worship God. In other words, the religion of angels. Now, of course, when you ask the question, well, how would they know about that? What could they say about that? Well, the only thing that we could know about that is what the Bible tells us, and that is very little. But that's the very point that Paul is making here. He's talking about these people and how that they intrude into things that they have not seen. So some people believe that this refers to the worship or the religion practiced by angels. Others believe that these false teachers actually worshiped angels and told Christians to worship angels themselves. And this would have been part of that pretended humility, because what they're trying to do is to say that they're so religious that they paid homage to God, but also even to the angels. Now, we know from the book of Revelation that John tried that twice in Revelation chapter 19 and Revelation chapter 22. John, of course, was not trying to put on an act and pretend to be more humble than he was. He was being very sincere when he fell down at the feet of the angel that showed him these things. But both times, in Revelation 19, verse 10, and Revelation 22, 8 and 9, the angel told John to get up, because he said, I am your fellow servant. In other words, I am not to be worshipped. So the Bible directly forbids people to worship angels. But regardless of which of these two views a person might take about the expression here, the worship or the worshiping of angels, whether a person thinks that that refers to the religion or the service or the practice of worship in these angels in heaven toward God, or whether a person thinks that these Christians were being told to actually worship angels, either way, these men who were teaching these Christians pretended to be more humble and more spiritual than regular Christians. And they told the members of the church there that they needed to keep the law and even get into this worship or worshiping of angels that he talks about. Now, notice how he describes their mindset. He says that they were intruding into those things which he has not seen. Now, here, he's especially talking about intruding into things in heaven. He's talking about, in the context here, of what these angels do and what these angels are involved in heaven. And the only thing, as we said, that we know about that is what the Bible tells us. In Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29, the Bible says that the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those which are revealed belong to us and to our children. So there's a danger today that people tend to get into matters that the Bible does not reveal. And some people will even make claims about things that the Bible does not tell us. So these people were getting into things that God did not even reveal, and we find that people are doing the same thing today. Now notice in verse 18 why they did this. The last part of verse 18 tells us why they got into these practices and these doctrines in religion. Notice verse 18 in the last part, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Now notice the way that this verse starts out, describing these people and the way that they appeared, and the way that it ends up talking about who they really were. In verse 18 he says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility. Now that's the impression, that's the appearance that they gave. They appeared to be very humble. But really, in their heart, he says in the last part of the verse that they were vainly puffed up. They were prideful and they were arrogant. And notice this as well. He talks about intruding into those things which he has not seen. Man has a curious mind, and sometimes that curiosity gets him into trouble. Sometimes men speculate about things that they don't know anything about. And that oftentimes is the trend or the tendency of human philosophy. The very thing that he warns about in verse 8, he says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy." And one of the dangers of human philosophy is to get into things that philosophy cannot explain and cannot know. And this is what Paul warns about in Romans chapter 1 when he says that the people became vain in their imaginations, that is, they became futile or empty in their speculations because their foolish heart was darkened. And notice what he says also about their attitude, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So there is an arrogance that goes with this kind of human philosophy that these Christians were being threatened by in the church at Colossae. He goes on to say in verse 19 that these individuals are not holding the head. Now that's Jesus, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. So notice what he does constantly throughout this book. He warns about these false teachers, and he tells these people to hold on to the head, that is, hold on to Christ and hold on to his word. That is the theme that he is trying to get these people to understand and remember. Now, in verses 20 through 23, we have another sign of this false humility that these people were guilty of. Paul reproves these Christians for listening to this kind of teaching. Notice what he says in verse 20. "Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world," and what we're going to see about these rudiments or elements of the world is that he's talking about the teaching of these men regarding eating, regarding food. So what were these men saying to these Christians at the church at Colossae? He says, "Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances?" Why are you listening to these men who say things like, verse 21, "Touch not, taste not, handle not"? What is he talking about? He's talking about the fact that these men would say, "Don't eat good food. Don't enjoy yourself." Because these false teachers pretended to be so humble and so spiritual that they said if you enjoy a good meal, you're not being as spiritual as you should. You're being worldly minded. They said that you have to deny yourself as much as possible of earthly pleasures. And so they acted humble and spiritual by having very little in their lives. They had few clothes. They had little food. They lived where they could and may have even begged for money. They denied themselves of physical pleasures, good food, but also we find in the Bible, and after the Bible age closes, that some even denied themselves of the joy of marriage. Remember that Paul warned about that in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. He said that there would be false teachers who would be forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. So these people that we're looking at here in Colossians 2 are similar to those people. And there have been many groups over the past 2,000 years who have done this. Many people call this kind of religion asceticism. Now notice in verse 22, as Paul continues, he says, "Which all are to perish with the using," that is, these foods are going to perish, "after the commandments and doctrines of men." And then in verse 23, he summarizes what he said about the religion of these false teachers. "Which things have indeed a show of wisdom." First of all, he says, their religion is a show. Secondly, he says, in will worship. They worshiped the way that they wanted to worship. They practiced the kind of religion that they wanted to, not the kind of religion that God said. Then he says, they have this humility, that is, this false humility, and neglecting of the body, that is, denying the appetite to show that they were very spiritual. And then he says, and not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh, and some translations give the idea that these things that they practiced did not protect them against the indulgence of the flesh. This is the kind of religion that Paul warned these people about.